It's actually about porting parted, so it's still a big part to do. So maybe help is a bit needed on that. And the other stuff is finishing porting BusyBox for all the network-related tools. So if you want help on that, you can ask on Debian Boot or Debian BSD or also on the IRC channels.
Great. Same as well.
A page with the link.
Sorry.
If you want later.
And next is you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sha Liu. My mentor is Anthony Folk, but you can see there are three people there. So the other two is the co-mentor. In short, the goal of this of my project is to compile packages with, you can see, MARC equals to MIPS3 and Longsun2F and with MABI equals to N32. Well, to finish this job, first I need to build a MIPS3 minimal Linux system using a CLFS method. The CLFS is a project teaching people how to cross-compile Linux from scratch. Second, I'll demonize this system by building Debian's packaging system include DPKG, APT, etc. Then I'll build packages in a stable archive one by one. Now I have already such a minimal system with the new tool chain. You can see bind new tools 2.19, GCC 4.4, glibc 2.9, and with the kernel 2.6.29. Many patches are already available in Zhang's overlay. Zhang is a Gentoo developer, so this is his overlay. And for the to-do, the to-do list is much longer, I think. First, I should finish building DPKG and all its dependency. Then I'll demonize the file system. Third, I want to try MARC equals to Longsun2F. Four, I'll test the performance between this new system and the old Debian's MIPS EL port. Five, I want to run this new system on a GDM Liberty 1000 netbook. There are many things you can help with. You can test this minimal system I've already uploaded to this FTP. And you can always subscribe to this mailing list to be part of it. There are many practical problems I've encountered in working on this project. For example, how to automatically Debianize the file system as Debian policy manual suggests, and how to efficiently get all dependency source packages. Finally, maybe you can help me build a package or two. You can see this is my development blog, and this is the method I use. This is the method I use to build this minimal system. The last is the homepage of JDM OLPH program, as you may know. The left picture is the JDM netbook. If you register to be one of the developer, you can get this netbook at a lower price. And on the right is the black box is the Fulong box. As you can see, the size of it is almost the same as CD-ROM. Well, that's all. If you have something interest, you can always contact me. Thank you.
So next up is the project of David Wan Jr., mentored by Stephen Moller. The goal of this project is to create tools to work with the Amazon EC2 system. So the system is a cloud computing system. It has nothing to do with Google or anything. The idea is that you can have hosting, and this hosting can be extended on simple clicks. Say you host a website and you have one server, and suddenly you're up on Slashdot or whatever, and you can order 100 servers exactly the same and load balance. It also has uses in academia, where it is used for computing, whereas universities set up clusters of computers for use by other universities on demand, which is why a project was initiated inside academia to create a clone of all the Amazon infrastructure with free software. So because Amazon have restrictive license on the tools they provide, we can't use them directly, legally, with Eucalyptus. So we've been working on recreating these tools with free license and more friendly functionalities, so that anyone can set up a cloud computing cluster at home or whatever. So the status of the project, Eucalyptus already has Debian packages, but these packages are not really following Debian policy. So David has been helping them to create new packages that actually comply with Debian policy. He's been helping with these free tools to replace the Amazon tools. He's also working on porting VM Builder, which comes from Ubuntu. Ubuntu, through Canonical, has a commercial partnership with Amazon. So they created some specific tools which have some Ubuntu-specific functionalities, like working with the landscape commercial computing management, which is not useful to us. So basically, we wanted to work with the whole Debian environment, Xen, VirtualBox, whatever is needed. The code is in Alios, fully ported to Debian. You can try it. What's left to do? We still have to port a few modules that are still a little too much Ubuntu. We have to validate kernels that are provided by Amazon, because Amazon has a set of kernels that you have to use. You can't use Debian kernels on it. So we have to validate them. On Eucalyptus side, there's still work done, left to be done to comply with Debian policy, so we can have packages by the end of the summer inside the archive. You have a few links. You can follow them up the end after the talk. Next project is to port back the update manager. The update manager is this little icon that nobody looks at the top of GNOME, which tells you you have to update stuff, which you don't never read. It's useful for Ubuntu, and they made a lot of customizations to support the LTS and other Ubuntu-specific stuff. Unfortunately, there is a lot of hard-coded Ubuntu dependencies inside the code. There's hardly any documentation. So we want to port it back to Debian and to make it distribution independent, so that it can be used by Debian or any other Debian derivative, not only Ubuntu. We wanted to have a cleaner design and cleanly separated between front-end and back-end, and have the ability to extend to support specificities of other distributions, such as those that are made for netbooks or specific machines. So if you don't remember, it's this piece of software. This new design is comprehends front-end, back-end, and so, and this distribution specific part, so that there is no specific porting needed to port it to another distribution except writing plugins. There is new documentation that will be automatically generated, and we dumped calling Synaptics with a very long command line to install stuff, and we dumped it in favor of the Python APT backend that's been developed at Debian. We have some automatic distribution detection and new functionality so that it works cleanlier if there is no GUI involved, and so on. So to do frontends that will work on the command line, a newer daemon that works cleanlier, and some integration work with Python APT, reworking the interface and testing. You can help. You will look at the slides later. The last project is to rework the BTS with a new modern web UI. Unfortunately, Diego is apparently ill. He's here. He might be come back later. He's mentored by Margarita Monterola. The focus of this new project is to have better usability, something that's easier to use, more friendly than the current BTS, which asks you to write mails in a very specific syntax, or otherwise it won't do anything. It makes for easier triaging inside Debian. Right now, if someone just wants to do triaging of bugs, it's very complicated. The BTS doesn't make it very easy. It makes possible to create new workflows, creating, as I said, the role of a triager, separate from the maintainer of the package or the user. And of course, this new interface looks nice. So right now it looks like this. You can have this list of bugs. It's quite cleanly written with CSS and standard compliant HTML in Python. That's the view of a single bug. You can have any actions. Most of the regular action can be done inside the interface without resorting to email. So what's left to be done? So some of the actions are not implemented yet. Diego still has to implement them. Still has to see what's to be taken from other BTSs. Right now, the launchpad has just been open source, so he will look at the source code and see what's interesting to take back from them. And also, he wants to integrate these new features and decide how to handle the choice of having or not a user authenticate, how to have them authenticate, and so on. Currently, one of the issues with having an entirely web-based bug tracking system is that developer fears that it will reduce the quality of the bug reports. On the other hand, if you force the user to authenticate and have a complicated registration process, you're sure that the most dedicated user will stay at the end and provide you probably better bug reports. So a balance has to be found here. So let's have a round of applause for our students, which are here or not here. So to conclude, the factor of success. You have to remember that not only the students are to be regarded for their success. The developers inside Debian also have work to do to make sure that their work will be successful. So how a student can turn into a future great Debian developer? First, you have to make sure that he wants to stay. So his project has to be properly integrated quickly at the end of the summer or right after. Google doesn't really care if the project is integrated at all, but we actually care, and the students especially care about this. We want our project to be fully integrated in the next release or in the instable branch. For these students to feel that their work would be useful and to possibly iterate over it to improve it, you have to contribute feedback to them. currently the students doesn't have to work in their corner alone. You can contribute to their work by providing them feedback, trying out their project, and talking to them now face to face for those who are here. One thing that is interesting during this past 4 years of this Summer of Code is that many Summer of Code admins are past students who liked it here. Many of the current admins actually are past students. And for example, the current project leader of Joomla, I think it was Joomla, was a student from the first Summer of Code who had actually never participated in the program before. So I think that the Summer of Code is a great stepstone for anyone to participate into open source programs. And these students who successfully participate in the Summer of Code inside these organizations make great, great ambassadors for the project inside different communities than what the usual audience of their project is. And at Debian, I think that they help show the welcoming part of Debian. So how you can help? You can talk to our students, now physically, on IRC. For those that couldn't come, you have this IRC channel, Debian-SOC. You can try out their project. Most of them have something to try. For next year, I'd like you to think about great ideas to propose for students to do. The more ideas we have to present, the more students that we can attract. Also, you can talk to current and past mentors. We have a lot of mentors that participated in the program during these past 4 years. So you have a lot of people to talk to about what it takes to be a mentor and what's cool about it. Also, you can help admin the Summer of Code program. That's a lot of work to manage your whole program and all the mentor students involved. And I think that the Google Summer of Code at Debian is already quite great. So I would like to thank all the students who participated in the program this year and the past years, all the mentors who gave great help to all our students, the whole community at Debian who helped review project and try out this project during this summer, and of course Google for funding this project. They spend close to $5 million each year on this project. And funding and sponsorship and so on. So let's make a great experience for the students and the community, and the Summer of Code will be useful to us. You have this link where the slide will be present, all these links, and you can try it. That's it. So we have 10-15 minutes left for any question. If you have any question for specific projects or the management in general, feel free to ask them.
Is it working?
Hello?
Yeah.
Christian Perrier talking. It's more a comment first and then a question. As a comment, I would like to enhance the amazing work done by Arthur, particularly in animating this Summer of Code. I've been watching this from the outside in the mailing list, etc., etc. And I think, and probably the all other people who animated this in the past year will approve, this has been the best animated Summer of Code in Debian ever. So I think Arthur deserves a particular thank you from all of us, all of Debian, for this amazing work he has been doing all along this Summer of Code, and he will be doing all along this Summer of Code. So thank you, Arthur. Thank you very much. I think he deserves a special applause for that. And actually, the question is very simple. Arthur, will you be running as a Summer of Code animator next year?
Except if I'm dead, I expect to still be here, yeah.
So that will be a great Summer of Code. Thank you.
Thanks.
While I haven't participated in the Debian Summer of Code, I have I mean, the Google Summer Code in Debian, I have done it in other projects. And if you could back up a slide or two, you had, yeah, that one. I wonder what you could tell me about, are you looking to get students to contribute their code once they've completed it, or are you hoping to let them, to get them involved in the project and committing it to revision control inside the project while they're working on it? Because I've had some, I had some experiences with students who did a great job, but then it never actually got in. And I think that if they're actually working in revision control the whole way along, it's helpful. So I wonder if you could go through some of the projects and just give the status of that.
So at the beginning of the project, what we requested from students and their mentors this year, do you hear me, is to provide us a RSS feed of their commit logs. So we have RSS feeds of most projects that can actually provide one. Some projects are not very ready to provide RSS feed because they work in individual packages and so on. But for the most part, we did a much better effort this year to integrate them live. Most students are working in the VCS of their respective project, either on the trunk or on a branch. And we had all projects be hosted on Debian infrastructure. We specifically asked for the VCS to not be hosted on stuff like GitHub or particular personal servers, so that we know where they are at the end of the summer. And we made great effort also to notify any people that is involved with work related to each project, so we don't have any incidents like last year where one project just sent to the maintainer of the package one big diff and that couldn't be integrated because of conflicting work. I hope that we don't have any incident like this year. Any other question? Anyone has an idea of projects that he would like to have done next year? I hope you have. Well, great. We'll finish a little in advance.